I actually have given my lesson tonight a title that might get used on the recording. Bob always asks me, what do you want to call it? Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to call it tonight. God, Sports, and Championships. Though I am an avid Alabama Crimson Tide fan, I'm more than passingly interested in Dabo Swinney as the head coach of Clemson Tigers. As most of you know, Dabo graduated from Pelham High School in 1988. That put him about 3 years behind Dana Grubbs and me at Pelham High School. When I was a senior, he was a freshman at high school. I knew his brother Tripp a little bit better, but with a name like Dabo, you don't go unnoticed. And Dabo was actually a very nice guy in school, just like you see out on the field in the interviews today. In the national championship game, I wasn't about to root against my Tide in the game, but I will say it's slightly less painful to lose to a local boy who's done so well for himself. And it's kind of fun to see people talk about somebody that I actually know personally on the national stage and now has gone to see the president. That's just neat. I was interested in hearing Dabo's comments after the game, just like I normally would have liked to have heard our coach's comments after we had won. But I was interested in Dabo's because they won, and he didn't disappoint in those comments. And I also noticed that Brother Terry Benton saw and heard those comments, and it prompted him to post a Facebook post the next day. I want to quote just a little bit of what Terry said, because it really meant something to me. I actually quoted back, and we talked about it briefly, and I thought it was an interesting comment. Terry posted on Facebook the next day after the game. Now, I love Dabo, and it's a theme, right, as everybody says that. Now, I love Dabo and appreciate the fact that he has faith and gives honor to God, openly confesses faith in Jesus, and I wouldn't mind him being the Alabama coach one day, not soon, but eventually if we need to look for one. That was his quote, but I do agree. And I don't think God wrote the script, which were Dabo's words, for this championship run. If you heard that, you may have picked up on that. Terry continues, I think that time and chance still has a place in such activities, and football games and their outcomes is not a thing that God concerns himself with, except to be disappointed in attitudes, words, and behavior related to the moments. Some people have more enthusiasm for ball games than his church, which becomes a form of idolatry that grieves God. God is concerned about righteousness and good works of faith, but he has only one team, the church, that Jesus died for on the cross. Acts chapter 20 and verse 8 was mentioned there. He gave his blood for the church and bought it with that high price. Terry continues, yes, the Church of Christ is far greater to God than Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, or any other ball club of any sort. There is a time and chance that one team is up while another is down, a time and chance that one side prepares better and executes better, a time and chance that human errors will occur to the advantage of the other team, a time and chance that the ball will bounce in a way that works to the advantage of the other team. And I don't think God writes scripts for ball clubs and seasons. Terry then quoted from Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. It was a very appropriate comment quote, I thought. Ecclesiastes 9, 11 and 12 reads, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. For man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare, so the sons of men are snared in an evil time when it falls suddenly upon them. Terry finished his thoughts by saying, I appreciate expressions of faith, but we need to be careful of misguided faith, attributing things to God that we could not possibly know and affirm. I thought those were good thoughts from Brother Terry. I often enjoy his posts. I think he's kind of mastered the Facebook post in a lot of ways, and I think he's very insightful and thoughtful in the things that he posts most of the time. As with most things in the world, sports are not inherently evil or sinful to enjoy and participate in. As Terry said, the attitudes, words, and behaviors exhibited about sports are often what corrupt the activity for us. The Apostle Paul used sports to a degree in Scripture that makes you think he was likely a fan himself. But there is a distinct lack of personal insight into his preferences about players or teams or prizes, etc. And it's noteworthy what he does mostly emphasize about sports: personal discipline, obeying the rules, and the triviality of human achievements. Let's look at just a couple of those passages tonight that Paul wrote and had us to consider as he presented some things about sports with good understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9 verses 24 through 27 read, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it for to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as one, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul analogizes the running of a race and boxing in this teaching that he gives here. Those who would win a race, those who want to win and get the crown, all run in the race, even though only one will actually receive the crown in that race. Paul encourages in brethren running a spiritual race to have the same diligence who seek a spiritual crown. Run like you want to win. Prepare and participate and run like you actually want to win. All athletes who excel practice and prepare themselves with great self-control. They run with certainty of purpose, a distance, a finish line, a reward that they want to obtain, a purpose. And they fight with meaningful resistance to build themselves up. A boxer doesn't just wave his arms in the air hoping that he'll get good and get strong. He finds purposeful resistance to build himself up, to increase his speed and his accuracy and his strength. This is how Paul says he kept his body under control as he developed his spirit for his work and his purposes. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verses 12 through 14. It's kind of in the middle of a thought, but for the purposes of what I'm speaking of tonight, I think it's a familiar passage. Philippians 3, verse 12. "No, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Paul teaches us that we must reach forward. We must resist adversity. We must push and stretch ourselves to attain our spiritual goals. We must not be hindered by what we were or what we have left behind to engage the race. We always have to look ahead, look forward. Jesus used a farming analogy to make the same point when he said that the servant put his hand to the plow and to not look back. He would show his unworthiness to try to start plowing and look backwards. You've got to look forward and know where you're going and go with a purpose. Paul himself presses toward the mark. We usually say, gentlemen, hit your marks, you know, and we mean at the beginning, but he means in this case the end, the result, the goal that we're trying to get to. Press toward the mark. Examine, Paul said, examined himself. He measured himself to the proper playing field, and he understood what the goal line was so that he could obtain the prize. See, all of this is a sporting analogy to help us understand how to exercise our spirit by comparison to something that we probably understand what it takes to win. Briefly, he returned to that thought in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 5, a very simple verse. Jason mentioned this in as part of his lesson the other night. Verse 5, it says, if a man also strive for masteries, that means in sports, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. So in all of this preparation, Paul hails the discipline of the successful athlete and lauds the integrity of playing by the rules. There will be no lasting victory without obedient participation and making a full effort to reach that goal. And in the final passage we'll look at tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 8. Probably the most famous of Paul's comments, maybe. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also that love his appearing. Paul summed up his whole life's work in an extended sporting metaphor. No better way to explain his work and purpose than in the strain and the struggle and the adversity and the fight that he experienced in his life. Even at the very end, he desired a spiritual crown of righteousness laid up for him to wear as he crosses the final finish line to be rewarded by the Lord. I hope you have that picture of the Olympic podiums. The Lord saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant, to the Apostle Paul. Sports is not a bad thing. Many great lessons can be learned and applied as a player or as a spectator if we appreciate what's involved in the sport. Just on the side, I'll tell you that I found it funny that somebody had posted, I hope all my Alabama friends out there will post that they're doing okay after the game. I said, hey, you know, I didn't play in the game and nobody tackled me. I'm fine. There is a distinct lack of information about what player, team, or prize Paul was most interested in sports. What is noteworthy, though, as I said earlier, is what he teaches us about sports, what sports emphasizes, and that is personal discipline, playing by the rules, and the triviality of fleeting human achievements. All this gives us a proper perspective to keep as we enjoy such things as sporting events. And it is a great analogy for the idea of spiritual endurance, that we make preparation, that we keep fighting and looking forward, that we reach and stretch ourselves, and we try to do better, we try to do more, we keep going. We don't worry about what we left behind or who we left behind. We look forward and we see Christ ahead of us. And we see the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. And with the same deliberate discipline and observance of the rules and clarity of purpose as an athlete has to win his race or to win his fight and defeat his opponent, we see the same thing in our own lives for our Christian fight, for the faith that we have. And let us also be able to say, I have fought a good fight. And I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. And I know there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me, and the Lord will give that to me. And Paul says that that's for everyone who will be willing to run that same race. The calling is yours tonight. The calling is yours. We have to play by the rules. We have to be diligent. We have to be willing to do what it takes. But if we want to win, let's act like we want to win. Let's play like we want to win. Let's work like we want to win. And the Lord will make sure that we do win. If you are called to the gospel tonight, if that made some impression on you and you understand a little better about what it takes to become a Christian and to want to serve the Lord diligently, then we've come here tonight and I've delivered this message to encourage you to make that known. If you have fallen by the wayside, and you have let things get in the way, and you've let things hinder you, and you've not resisted adversity as you should, if you want to recommit yourself to that and rejoin the race and get back in the good fight of faith, that opportunity is afforded you tonight. And we're going to stand now and sing this song to encourage you. We hope you'll come forward and let us know that.